morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world, and welcome to this, page 9 of the Interop Hot Stage Diaries. I'm your host, Kurt Franklin, and we have a good show for you today. This is the last time I'll be coming to you directly from the warehouse. Tomorrow we'll do another episode of the Diaries, but I will have fled to the other side of the country, and that's kind of the theme of Hot Stage right now. I'm joined in the studio by my partner in crime, Brian Chi. Brian, welcome to the Hot Stage Diaries.
Thank you, Kurt. I'm actually going to be traveling almost an equal distance.
You are. We're heading off in different directions. Me to the east coast of the U.S. and you to a small speck of paradise in the middle of the Pacific. But we've seen the crowd here in the warehouse get smaller and smaller the last couple of days.
Yeah, the hot stage tends to go in waves. And so we have the early comers that build. Then we start building the infrastructure, and then people with the monitoring and so forth go in there. And then I'm kind of the cleanup batter. I actually get to do a lot of packing and stacking.
Yeah, we have, as I look down the tables and over in the racks, we've got a couple of folks from one of the SDN companies who are still racking their equipment, getting things prepared. And then we've got a couple of the monitoring companies and logistical companies represented by people still here, and then some of the team leads, people who are in charge of the whole darn thing, and folks like you who are here to doing whatever needs to be done and preparing for the education part that is a very significant portion of the entire InteropNet and SDN lab experience.
Well, realistically, you know, the people that volunteer for the show are professionals in their own rights. You know, a lot of them are IT managers, MIS managers, and so forth. And the only reason why we would give up gobs and gobs of our time to work on a project this big is the learning experience. And we have certainly all learned not only from the show but also from each other. And it is the community of engineers that make a huge, huge difference in how we justify this amount of work to our management.
You know, you mentioned the educational component. Brian is in charge of the education that happens among the members of the InteropNet team and the SDN lab, but education is a huge part of the overall Interop experience as well. Interop, for those who don't know, will be coming your way live from April 27th through May 1st at the beautiful and glamorous Mandalay Bay Convention Center in scenic Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, for more information or to register, please go to www.interop.com. Be sure, when you register, to use promo code RADIO to get a nice big savings off your overall conference experience. The education is critical, the expertise is critical, and through the pages of the Hot Stage Diaries, we've had a chance to talk to a number of the people who were responsible for putting the network together. We've got a couple more of those today, as well as sort of a final status check with the man who is in charge of all of the InteropNet and SDN lab, Glenn Evans. Before we get too deep into that, though, I want to take a moment to meet one of our Interop team members. This is someone who I have known for a long time. Actually, I originally met this individual in Brian Chi's lab when Josh was just a student back many years ago. Now he is a full-fledged professional here at the InteropNet, and well, let's hear from him about what he does and his experience here in the InteropNet Hot Stage Warehouse.
Okay, so my name is Josh Kuhl. I work for Deep Dive Networking, and what I do for my job is mostly technical training, and I do quite a bit of consulting centering around DNS, DHCP, and some security technologies. Well, Deep Dive Networking is here to represent Infoblox. We're partners of Infoblox, so they are supplying the hardware and we're supplying the engineering talent to provide DNS, DHCP, and IP address management for the show. So our end goal is that people can come in here, use the Infoblox interface, and be able to see the overall network landscape with much more ease than the other traditional tools. Well, Hostage so far has been steady, and there's no lack of excitement because almost every other hour we'll find something new that's like, oh, we're going to do this, and that's going to change our design. So our original design from 2 weeks ago has been modified at least a few dozen times based on new findings. Okay, my history with InteropNet is sort of on and off. So I started coming to Interop as a volunteer, I think in 2000 when I was still in college. I didn't know a whole lot back then. Came here and really kick-started my career. And then I think I revisited the show again as a volunteer, I think in 2007 or 8. I can't remember which year, but on and off, I've been coming back to the show, and this is my first official full-time involvement. In the past, I just come to the trade show portion to help roll out the show with an ITM, and this time I'm getting involved from the hostage to fully invest in the designing and deployment, the whole nine yards. My favorite part is, I think, the ever-changing requirements and networks, because part of my day job is I go to a lot of large companies and see how their networks are built. And for the most part, they don't differ that much. And InteropNet is unique in that every show, it's a completely new network. They're going to involve new vendors, new technologies, new problems, and that's exciting as someone who's in the field, in this field, to want to come and solve, face new challenges and try to solve them.
You know, Brian, it has to be interesting for you to hear someone who you had as a student now here as a professional.
Oh, yeah, and I was just mentioning during the break that Josh and Cynthia, the cools, met and fell in love in my lab, so the geek love.
There's nothing quite as romantic as a data center. I mean, let's face it. I find it fascinating. One of the things I was talking about with Glenn Evans earlier in the week, when I was asking him what his favorite part of internet or interop were, he mentioned the enjoyment of seeing people come in, be an ITM, that's InteropNet team member, sort of the basic foot soldier of the InteropNet, and work their way up as their expertise grows and as their career develops. You've gotten to do a lot of that yourself with the various students you've brought in over the years and seeing how they grow to be key members of this technology community.
Yeah, you bet. I think in round numbers, I've brought maybe 60, 65 students to the show as interns. And it's nice, I'm seeing the first generation become professionals. Actually, one of my first generation students now has a PhD and is running a computer science department at a community college, which is wonderful for me, and a couple others have founded companies. And what's really great is when students remind me when their companies go and do an IPO. It's like, friends and family, please.
Well, I was thinking about that notion. The formal term for what goes on, I suppose, is mentoring. Mm-hmm. It happens, I think, very casually and very naturally here at the InteropNet, because the conversations really do just flow back and forth. I know I was having a conversation about the differences between generic sort of SDN technology and OpenFlow this morning with a couple of folks while we were waiting for the shuttle to bring us from the hotel over here. There are just all kinds of opportunities for those very rich conversations. And that's really, I think, one of the values of a face-to-face conference like InteROP, just those opportunities for the conversations that spring up when you have a bunch of curious, very competent people who are brought together in one place.
Yeah, and what's really fun about InteropNet is being able to talk to people that have designed things, being able to say, maybe I don't know as much as I thought I did. So what do you think about this? And I've talked to all kinds of really interesting people in taxi lines. I actually talked to some people on a massage table next to me. I even ran into some people. They were actually in the next seat to me when I was flying over. It's interesting at how many professionals come to InteROP and how many professionals use it as a fast track for education, because, you know, by the time a book is published, it's all out of date. But the classes that are presented, especially, you know, the engineers that are presenting them, this is absolutely fresh material. Sometimes they're shooting from the hip and they're talking about an experience last week. And there's no other venue that gives you that kind of immediacy to learning and that kind of immediacy to the information being presented.
You know, when you talk about the willingness to talk and the immediacy of the information, the word that today is thrown around very lightly is community. But that really is what it is. I have referred to it in the past as a tribe, because it really is a tribe of like-minded networking professionals.
You bet. And one of the very first lessons I have, the very first lecture I have when I get a new intern, is that the best engineers aren't the ones that know it all. They're the ones that know who to call.
No, exactly so. And I have to admit, that's one of the things that I've built my career on. You know, I do not pretend to be a technical professional at the level of the folks here at the InteropNet. I'm not incompetent, but I'm not nearly at their level. But the fact that I'm able to see them and have their contact information and have the face-to-face contact so that when I call some of these folks, they will talk with me, that has just been invaluable. And I think the same is true for pretty much anyone who comes to InteROP, regardless of where they are in their career.
Actually, one of the feedbacks I got from one student is he is desperately trying to get his arms wrapped around DNS, DHCP, IPAM type of technology. And he was having trouble grasping this. And he actually sat down in a knock with someone. He just started asking questions and found out he was the product designer for this particular product. And that product designer sat down and for 3 hours took him through soup to nuts. And the student came back to me and goes, wow, my head is full.
I have had a head is full experience more than once here at an InteROP. Well, the community and the mentoring, the ability to share is important. And the next one of the InteropNet team members that I wanted to bring to you is someone who mentioned the importance of that sharing to their career. And I think it's something that we often do underestimate and shouldn't. So this is someone who is, and I think you'll hear why when you hear the voice, someone who's a little bit special here in the InteropNet team. Let's meet the next member of the InteropNet team.
My name's Sally Toner, and I work for Path Solutions out of Santa Clara, and I'm a technical support engineer. So we're monitoring the network at Interop to make sure that everything's nice and healthy. So I've also created a dynamic network map that easily shows me what's healthy and what's not, if it ever gets to that point. No, actually, I believe this is my third or fourth time here. I've been at two other shows in the past couple of years at Interop Las Vegas, and I've been at one up in New York. Actually, this is so much nice because I'm more familiar than I was the first time that I came. I was a little, I was learning the ropes, I guess. So this time I know how things work. I'm familiar with how things are set up. So it goes a lot more smoother, and I know everybody here, so I'm a lot more comfortable. Well, it's a great group of people. Everybody works hard, but everybody can have fun when there's time to do that, of course. It's a great group, a great bunch of people. It's nice when I've got all of my stuff out of the way. It's nice to be able to ask questions and sit in and learn what the other technology companies are doing and what their new technologies are. I just have to say, it's nice to see other women. So I'd love to see more and more women come into this field or given the opportunity to come in here. So, yeah, it'd be great to see that.
As you could probably tell there at the very end, I had asked her about the fact that she is one of the few women who is part of the InteropNet team. Not in any particular, there's not a particular reason for that other than companies will send the people they think are the best people. And for reasons that I don't know that anyone has explained well, there just seem so far to be more men than women in the field.
Well, it's the InteropNet team male to female ratio or whatever has changed radically over the years. It kind of ebbs and flows. 1 year, I think we had almost a dozen girls on the team, and other years we've only had one or two. It's not anyone doing this on purpose. It's just who is the technical person most the best fit, shall we say. And we've had some amazing, amazing women. I've got to meet one of the authors of IPv6. I got to meet one of the authors of MPLS, and they're both women. I encourage all my female students to join things like Women in Technology, WETI, and lots of fun. One of my female students is actually writing a book on women in technology, and of course I told her you have to include Rear Admiral Grace Hopper, and the fact that she would hand out a little chunk of copper wire and say, "Here's your nanosecond."
Yeah, we'll leave it as an exercise to our listeners to figure out just how long a nanosecond is. If you're trying to figure that out, just think about the distance that light can travel in a nanosecond, and there's the length of wire you need to hand out. But it really is true that the InteropNet is not a complete meritocracy, but it is an environment where your ability to know what you're doing and to work well with other people is what counts the most highly. The degree you have never comes up. Often, not always, but often, your pedigree tends not to come up. What does come up is just your ability to get your piece of the puzzle working properly, and then to pitch in and work with the rest of the team to get everything else working properly. I won't say that physical attributes disappear, but boy, they sure are minimized.
Well, one of my favorite examples is how a couple of vendors, they weren't necessarily competitors, but they didn't realize they had complementary products. And just the process of getting to know everybody, exchanging information and so forth, suddenly a brand new product sprang out of HotStage. And that was just, wow, that's really cool. And so both corporations follow that line, and they actually kind of send leads in each other's direction for this particular portion of their product line.
Yeah, it really is an interesting portion. And I will tell everyone that I'll be talking with both of the female engineers that I spoke with in the HotStage Diaries, Heather Williams and Sally Toner, at Interop in Las Vegas. They're both going to be there. We'll have other women who we bring to the microphone in our radio shows. We're also going to be talking about the fact that in the conference at Interop this year, there are a group of conference sessions on women in technology, and we'll be bringing you a number of highlights from those. So this is an issue that exists, and I think everyone is aware of it, and we're working on creating more of those mentoring opportunities, more of the chances for people to move forward in the field regardless of their gender. And that's a very, very good thing. Well, you know, we're coming close to the end of HotStage. I had mentioned that. So I figured it was time to go back and touch base with our lead architect, Glenn Evans, and find out what he thought about the progress that had been made and where we are at this point in the entire HotStage process. I did that a little bit earlier today. Here's what he had to say. Glenn, we're sitting here at the tail end of the HotStage process. How has it gone? Are we where you had hoped to be at this point in the entire experience?
Oh, very much so. We've got an operational network. The purpose of HotStage is to test things out, make the mistakes here in a controlled environment before we get to the expo floor. We've managed to achieve that goal and resolve some of the niggling issues that we had over the last couple of weeks. All the gear is now operating as it should. We've got it fully documented so we can break it apart, take it to the expo floor, and put it back together in fairly quick time, and be confident that the testing that we've done here, such as power down testing load, connectivity, will work because it's been done here. So at least we now have a baseline to work from for when we get to the expo floor. We can now say, yes, it did work in the warehouse. What has changed between then and now to make it not work or not work as it should?
Well, you talk about getting to the expo floor with all the work that's gone on here and with things going as expected. Does that mean that when the entire team arrives in Las Vegas a few days before Interop opens, that they're in for a completely relaxed, easygoing kind of few days?
I would never say that. One of the challenges of the event space, of the event environments, is you just never know what's going to happen. We could lose a truck on the way over here. We're taking 2 53-foot trailers full of gear. It's possible one won't make it on time, which could delay us. We could have issues with rigging the fiber. We always have the challenge of, forklifts getting in the road, and they tend to be a little bit bigger than us, so we defer to them. The reality is, we've been doing this a little bit for a while now, and we've got our processes and procedures in place. It should be smooth, and if it's not, we've probably seen the challenge before, and somebody's got a fix for it.
Outstanding. Well, Glenn, thank you so much for inviting us to be here during HotStage, and we'll look forward to seeing you again there at the build-in process at Interop and picking up our reporting at that point.
It's been a pleasure to have you guys here. It's I think it's been, as always with InteropNet, it's a collaborative effort. We do our thing. You guys have been very good at you know, messaging out what we do and how we do it. And I look forward to the move-in process. And then finally, that last beer after the tear-out process.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. Yeah, that last bit of celebration, once the network has been disassembled, and we've had the successful end of another interop, it's hard to believe in some ways that all of the effort that has gone on for the last 2 weeks here is really taking place to make sure that things go absolutely smoothly for 5 critical days in Las Vegas at the end of the month.
Right. And, you know, we actually have to make sure we've got enough spares. In fact, that's what I'm doing now. I'm packing up crates of spares and monitors and stands and cables. There's an amazing amount of kit that goes into building the world's largest temporary network.
Yeah, and it's not as though the work will come to a screeching halt when people go home from here. There's an awful lot of documentation that needs to be done between now and Las Vegas. Many conversations that need to be had. I know that there are people who are still talking about some elements of configuration that they figured out here, but they won't be able to put in place until we actually get out to Las Vegas. So things will slow down. Things will move into a different mode, but work really does continue pretty much straight through from now until we get to Las Vegas.
You bet. And some of the stuff that we're doing, we're actually doing up in the cloud. We actually have co-location facilities with CenturyLink. And so a portion of the interop net, especially things like the monitoring system, stay up all through the year. And that gives us the ability to continue learning from our experiences and to help build a better interop net and build better products.
And the portion about things staying up through the year, that's true of the interop community as well. That's something that we're paying more attention to now and that we want to make sure you experience as well. You know, interop is centered around this amazing face-to-face experience that happens at the end of April, but that's not all it is. You know, the interop community continues to happen around articles that we publish at Network Computing and at Information Week. Now, the interop radio that's going to continue every week right through the year. So it is a community that goes on. It just happens to come together once a year. And in 2015, it will come together from April 27th through May 1st at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. We hope that you will be there to get more information or to register for Interop. Go to www.interop.com. And when you do register for the conference, be sure to enter the promo code RADIO. You'll be glad you did when you see the money that you save. Well, Brian, we're coming close to time to head off. What do you have on your agenda for interop prep between the time we leave Hot Stage and when we do arrive in Las Vegas?
Well, obviously, I still have a bunch of packing up to do, but I'm also going to be putting together a bunch of equipment that I'm going to bring to the show so that we can extend our reach, you know, do different things. But most importantly, I'm going to be reaching out to the other volunteers that are going to be joining us in Las Vegas to try and see if we can maybe wiggle a little bit and change the classes to better fit their needs. Because after all, they're giving up 2 weeks of their career to help us build the world's largest temporary network, and we got to show our appreciation.
Oh, absolutely. Now, speaking of getting ready, I'm going to be doing a lot of that too, because I'm going to have a ton of equipment out in Las Vegas. We're going to be bringing you at least a dozen live episodes of Interop Radio from Interop Las Vegas. I'll be getting out there before the show opens, so I'll be gathering information through the move-in process as the entire Interop net goes into place at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center. It's going to be a great time, and we hope that you will join us both in person and on the air. Now, if things conspire to keep you away from Las Vegas, then our on-the-air component, I think, becomes so much more important. We're going to be able to bring you lots of interviews, lots of information we're also going to be bringing you lots of stuff on social media. So be sure to follow our Twitter feeds and our Instagram. We may even, I'm told, be putting together a Pinterest page for Interop. So who knows how many different ways we're going to have to get you information. Brian, before you leave, tell us how we can keep up with you on the social media and the other stuff that you're doing to share your wisdom between now and Interop.
Well, my Twitter handle is ADVNETLAB, Advanced Net Lab, and I'd love to talk with you live on that. I'm pretty good at replying. And I am one of the co-hosts with Curtis on This Week in Enterprise Technology, Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific on the TV network, and would love to see you in the chat room.
Oh, absolutely. The Twiet Riot, as our friend Father Robert Ballasin likes to call it. Well, that's it for us today, and that's it for me live from the warehouse here at Interop Hot Stage. Now, we will have page 10 of the diary tomorrow. It's going to be kind of a wrap-up show. I'll be bringing you some of our greatest hits and some last thoughts as I have winged my way to the other side of the country. We appreciate you being with us for all these shows and hope that you will continue to plan to be with us for Interop Radio. Remember, that comes to you live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We have a bunch of great shows coming your way between now and the Interop Conference. Well, for Brian G. and everyone here at Interop Hot Stage, I'm Kurt Franklin. Thanks so much for listening. Hey, we'll see you back here tomorrow.